By this morning, we are in the final verses, chapter number 2, verses 20 to 23. Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, today we ask for you to help us learn the scriptures this morning in the Sunday school hour. Open up our mind. Open up our understanding. Father, we look to you for the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. Help him to be the teacher in our hearts and our minds, that we might walk away from this, Lord, remembering the truth and remembering the lessons that you have for each one of us. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for the prophecies that we're going to continue consider today about our Messiah, about the coming kingdom, and what Jesus is going to do in this world. Father, help us again be with all of our brethren that are coming in the way. Lord, we just pray that all things will go well in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God had a message for a leader, and this leader was Zerubbabel. Isn't that amazing? You know, God knows the burdens of leadership, and he wanted to minister to Zerubbabel, knowing that, you know, helping him would help the people, and God's will would be done. And so all leaders face challenges. Some become exhausted. Some become overwhelmed. Some become discouraged, just like everyone else. Leaders often face pressure, tremendous pressure. And they have to deal with setting goals, the challenges, achieving goals, getting everyone to accept those goals and start working toward that end, continually motivating and keeping the people on course, and building and maintaining the trust of the people, keeping peace and unity among the brethren, and same time dealing with opposition. So as you can see, it could be an overwhelming challenge, an overwhelming burden. And so God, I think, had a message. That's what it's saying in verse 20. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel. Speak to Zerubbabel. And so God wanted to minister to him. There's a lot of things that are accomplished in this passage. But we want to see that Zerubbabel was God's chosen leader, God's chosen man to do the work of the Lord that God called him to do. now let's begin in verse 21 to kind of break this down. Number one, there's some promises that Zerubbabel had to believe and the people had to believe. Number one, God will manifest his power. Do we believe that? God will manifest his power. Sister Rita, did the young people come? No. Where are they? In bed? Oh, wow. All right. I just wanted to know if I needed to send Joshua back to his class, but God will manifest his power. So we see, letter A, God's prophecy. There's a prophecy. And think about that prophecy. He said, of course, it came through Haggai. This is God's prophecy. It says, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in verse 20. Of course, this was a specific date, December 18th, 520 BC. And so you have this fourth message was also given on the same day of the message that we read last week, verse 10. It tells us the same thing. In the 4 and 20th day of the 9th month. So we have these messages coming through Haggai the prophet. And this is the last message. But there's a prophecy here. Look at verse 22. Or verse 21, sorry. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, God is going to do a shaking. Now, what's going on in this whole scheme of things? Letter B, there's a plan. God has a plan, God's plan, letter B. Think about what we learned in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and all the things that we learned about history during this time. Obviously, God's plan was to rebuild the temple, to work through all the hardships. Some of them were the lack of resources. Some of them, there was opposition within and without. And it was a difficulty time of struggling in the land. And what did the people, we saw that the people grew weary, discouraged, distracted. That's what happened. That's what chapter 1's all about. Consider your ways. So what happened? 16 years, the work did not go on. 16 years, the temple sat unfinished. But now the work is resumed, as we saw in this book. But there's still a danger. You know, the danger is this. You can be discouraged again, no matter what. That's why we have encouragement along the way. So that was God's plan. Letter C, we have God's promise. Isn't this, the encouragement comes through the Word of God, amen. But when you're reading the Bible and you see the promises of God, they should encourage us. That's where we should draw our strength from, God's promises. And so these promises are coming from God. That's what we find in verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Who's going to do that? God. So, he is the agent of action. He is the one who is going to act. And God is doing this to protect his people, to fulfill his purposes. And that's basically, we know from the New Testament, and we'll kind of look ahead in the book of Revelation at some prophecies. So God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. What's he saying in verse 22? And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. So God is going to overthrow the thrones and powers of the kingdoms or nations. And when you think of the horses and riders and all that and the swords, we're talking about military strength. God is going to overthrow the military might of other nations. How do you think Zerubbabel felt after hearing these promises? He was encouraged. It ministered to him. And really, what God was trying to get across to him is this promise that God is in control. Isn't that what we need to hear today? As we look out over the Middle East or everything that's going on in our world, in Europe, God is in control. His plan will not be overthrown. God is in control of the nations. God is in control of the rulers, their armies. And if necessary, he will overthrow their kingdoms to help even Zerubbabel. I mean, that's how he's going to take this message, even though God is looking beyond. He's giving us the future prophecy that's coming that we haven't seen yet. As we can imagine, the book of Revelation talks about God shaking the heavens and the earth, and that didn't happen yet. Obviously, they would have taken this and say, oh yeah, look at all that's going around in our nations back then, you know, the history. God's shaking. But they weren't able to look beyond that to what we see in the New Testament of a literal shaking of heavens and the earth that God's going to do. So what is he getting across here is this. God's going to act mightily to ensure that the work is going to be accomplished. The temple will be completed. That's what Zerubbabel needed to hear, and the encouragement that he needed to receive. Think about King Cyrus. Remember, we talked about that. Ezra chapter 1. Remember, Cyrus, the Persian emperor, gave all the resources that they needed to do the work. Amen. We need a Cyrus today at Heritage Baptist Church. Amen. Yeah, I'll buy your property. How much do you want? That's nothing. All right, here it is. But I want you to look beyond what's happening in the day of Zerubbabel to the end times. That's why we're looking at God's prophecy, God's promises, God's plan. Why? Because it's going beyond Zerubbabel. So these shaking of the heavens and earth are more than what Zerubbabel, what happened in his day. There is going to be a judgment on the Gentile nations during the end times. That's what we look at in the book of Revelation. There will be the battle of Armageddon. These are similar descriptions of what we find in the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to be going into Zechariah, the next book of the Bible, next week. We'll start our introduction. Soon we'll be finishing the Minor Prophets, amen. That's an amazing accomplishment. Go to chapter 12. We're going to look now at some verses about the prophecies and what God's going to do. Chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Does anyone see the seeds of that happening right now? With all the protests here in America against Israel, the protests around Europe against Israel, protests in the Middle East. They're going to be gathered. All the people of the earth will be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, and on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day, the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Let everyone be warned. Chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. See how God allows this? You can't thwart the plan of God. I realize everyone is trying to broker peace in the Middle East. It will not happen. It will not happen until Jesus comes back. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for that, we shouldn't work towards that, but we understand God's plan. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem in the battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Amen. He's coming back. Which is before, I stood on that mount, amen. Which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. The second coming. He's coming to establish his kingdom, amen. The chariots, the horses, the riders, that's warfare. The shakings of heaven and earth is more than political and social upheaval. It's more than what was happening in the day of Zerubbabel, where Cyrus was moved to help the work of God. Do you understand? There's more of this. It's more than what we're reading in the book of Haggai. And so what is it? Go to Revelation 16. Revelation chapter 16. Verse 16. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." There were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, and so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And so, like the book of Zechariah, the book of Revelation is showing how the Gentile nations are going to turn against Israel, but it's amazing they're going to turn against each other. There's going to be a confusion. Go to chapter 19 of Revelation. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon his horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, obviously, there's so much more. You have the book of Daniel. And remember that the kingdom of God is going to replace the kingdoms of the earth. That's Daniel's prophecy. We won't go there. Chapter 2. All of these events, which we are reading, both in the Old Testament and in the New, is necessary because the human race, as we know it, will reach its end. It's going to be bringing a close to man's trust in his own self, man's trust in his own strength, constraining him to cry out for the mercy of God. In conjunction with all these events that we just considered, this prophecy speaks of Christ's second coming, his return to the earth to establish God's kingdom on earth. At that time, God will shake the heavens and the earth, overturn the rulers and their nations, overthrow the armies of the world. And in that day, God's army, the army of Christ and his followers, will prevail. Amen. Can you imagine Zerubbabel receiving this message? It was encouraging to him because he had to understand God, when he's talking about heaven and earth, God's in control of all the powers in heaven and in earth. That's what he's saying. And so God would act accordingly to accomplish his will even in Zerubbabel's day. I think that was the message for Zerubbabel, to trust God, to build the temple. God had a plan for the temple. God had a plan for Israel that no armies of the earth could overthrow. Isn't that what we're seeing today? As many rockets they want to hurl at Israel will not fall. Jerusalem will not fall. Amen. And it's not just by American strength or American support of Israel. It's by God's plan, God's will. And man cannot alter God's will and God's plans. This is comforting to Zerubbabel. Hopefully it's comforting to you today. Now let's go to the final point of our chapter. Number 2, verse 23. God not only will manifest his power, but number 2, God will magnify his prince. Verse 23. Haggai 2, verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant. Amen. The son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Letter A, Zerubbabel was God's servant. And I hope we see that he was a type of the Messiah. My servant. Again, could you imagine Zerubbabel, the comfort and encouragement, the assurance, right? Hey, God's saying, you're my servant. I chose you. But in the Bible, the term my servant, or the name, refers to the nation of Israel as God's special and chosen people. But more frequently in the Bible, it refers to the Messiah. My servant. Even the kings, right, of the Davidic line. The kings with David's godly heritage. We could read these titles, my servant. So when you hear this title, my servant, coming from God, it's a very important title. It's full of meaning. And it was meant to do more than encourage him. It will get there, but believe it or not, Zerubbabel is in that godly line that leads to the Messiah, that royal line. So there is a lot of meaning here. What is God saying? You're my servant. Well, I'm using you to point to the Messiah, is what he's saying. He's a type or a representative of the Messiah. Just as the Messiah would come to lead God's people, to establish God's kingdom, so Zerubbabel would lead God's people and establish the presence of God in the rebuilt temple. Amen. I was telling Jerry about, you know, the Lord's leadership and what about preaching and different things. And I shared with him about what's coming, Lord willing, after Colossians. We're finishing that today. And I told him that the Lord's been impressing upon me to preach what I'm going to call the gospel of Isaiah. And if you've been reading or have read Isaiah, you will notice a lot of teaching about Christ. And of course, this could lead up into the Christmas time and so forth. But here's part of it, the message. My servant, go to Isaiah 42:1. You have a list there of verses, but let us just skim over a few of those. This is a prophecy of Christ. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Remember, you'll find one of the things that will be interesting to do is find out all the passages in Isaiah that are quoted in the New Testament as fulfillment of Christ. Chapter 49, Isaiah 49. Verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, Is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Amen. Chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. 53:11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So here is Zerubbabel, God's servant, a picture of the Messiah. Letter B, not only was he God's servant, he was God's signet. God's signet, verse 23 of Haggai. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this was that being chosen to be a channel of David's royal line, which pointed to Christ. What he's saying, I'm treating you as a signet ring. And what he's saying, Zerubbabel is to bear his mark and his seal, God's mark. He was especially chosen. He was authorized to lead God's people. And the verse begins with that, in that day. In that day. Believe it or not, again, this is beyond Zerubbabel's time, as we are trying to get you to see, to a greater reality, and that is Christ himself. It's pointing to Jesus as the ultimate signet ring. He would be the greatest of God's chosen servants, as we were looking through Isaiah. And the supreme ruler of God's people, way greater than Zerubbabel, amen. But Zerubbabel's service and leadership were essential to God's plan, because they were foreshadowing the ultimate plan to send the Messiah. So Zerubbabel's life and ministry pointed to the life and ministry of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. His rule pointed to the coming rule of Christ, the eternal rule of the Messiah in the future kingdom. Several other scriptures bear this point out, and there's a lot there, but let me just kind of review it with you quickly. First, the prophet Zechariah, and the nice thing is we'll get into the book of Zechariah next. And he uses the title, the branch. And he uses that, the branch, to refer to Zerubbabel. But we know in the New Testament, the branch is Christ. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah use the branch to refer to the Messiah. Zerubbabel branch, Messiah branch. And we know that Zerubbabel is noted in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. The context. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now verse 12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and so on and so forth. All the way to verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born of Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, do you know why he's called the signet? There's a whole nother teaching here about, see, Jeconiah or Jehoiakim. God disavowed him, okay? He was a wicked king. And God declared through Jeremiah the prophet that Jehoiakim, were a signet ring on his hand, he would pluck him off. So think about that. You got someone rejected as a wicked king in the line, and then God takes that ring and gives it to Zerubbabel. So here's Haggai's message. The Lord reversed the imagery that I'm telling you in Jeremiah. Rather than plucking off and rejecting Zerubbabel, the Lord promised to make Zerubbabel like a signet ring. And with these words, the Lord confirmed that he had chosen the governor for both an immediate and a long-term purpose, the coming of the Messiah. And so the immediate purpose was to use him to lead the return exiles to rebuild the temple. But God's long-term purpose was to use him to continue the royal line of King David, the very same line of the kings through which the Savior and the King of Kings would come. Zerubbabel would indeed be the Lord's signet ring, his specially chosen servant. And as the leader, what did he have to do? Believe God. That's what the title is. A call to believe. We have to believe. Cling to God's promises in spite of what we see before our eyes. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. What do you see? Well, if you just live by what you see, you're going to be discouraged. But if you live by the faith of God's promises, you're going to be encouraged. Amen. That's the message. Believe. So what a beautiful promise, amen, that he gave to Zerubbabel. The hope that he gave to him. And that hope is now given to the entire world through Jesus Christ, the Messiah has come. So brethren, like him, we are called to be God's servants. We are today, the New Testament, if I had the time to develop this, we are the chosen. We are the elect of God. We are to be the light. Remember, Jesus is light to the Gentiles. Well, brethren, we're still taking the light to the Gentiles. Amen. Christ's light. And we're to take it to a dark world. We're to bear strong witness to the lost and dying world offering God's salvation to a world without hope. But what a tremendous calling, amen? We give them hope through the gospel. God chose Abraham, amen? God chose David. God chose Zerubbabel. God came in his chosen servant, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That fruit is connected to prayer. Don't forget that. He also said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Whoa. Do you see how relevant the Bible is? We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shall shine as lights. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Here it is. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and peculiar, it means different. We're to be different, brethren. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Brethren, we are servants now. Think of that calling. Zerubbabel, my servant, my signet. Jesus came. Now we are his servants, his signet, his royal line in this world. Let's live like it. Amen. All right, let's pray.